Happy Thanksgiving and welcome to the She Reads Truth podcast. She Reads Truth creates beautiful, accessible Bible reading plans and resources to help you get into God's Word every day. Each week here on the podcast, we talk about what we're going to read together as a community this week. I'm your host, Amanda Bible Williams.
And I'm your other host, Rachel Myers. Y'all, a couple of really important things. First, it is Thanksgiving week. So if you are within the United States, this is a fun week for you, or at least a significant week for you of some
kind.
It's a
week. It's a week for you.
It's a week with a holiday in it. Hopefully you get the day off. But also, another really exciting thing about this episode, Amanda, it is our 200th episode.
Hey, so happy 200th episode.
I like that it's
both. I cheers my cold coffee to you.
It feels like a good reason to give thanks.
Let's do it. Give thanks on the 200th.
On our Thanksgiving episode.
That's right. Let's go. Let's do it. Well, here we are. We are in week two of a 3-week series called
Give Thanks.
Give Thanks. It is a biblical study of gratitude. We are going to scripture to see what God has to say about Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And about, not the holiday, but about gratitude and the posture, the heart posture of Thanksgiving. And we learned so much last week about just what is Thanksgiving, what is gratitude, how do we give thanks?
What does it look like to model the Thanksgiving that we see in Scripture, specifically Jesus giving thanks?
Yes. Why do we give thanks? So lots of good stuff there in terms of an introduction to the concept
That's right.
of biblical gratitude.
And now we're getting down to brass tacks, Amanda.
We are. And so I love that we are not just going to talk about gratitude in this series, but we're going to look at examples.
Yes.
And examples within various circumstances or seasons of life. Because, I mean, I love give thanks in everything.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't want that, right?
Yeah.
But in practice and in reality, it is a simple concept.
Mm-hmm.
It is not easy.
Yeah. I'm excited to dig into this with you this week, Amanda, because it feels like we get like this really easy start. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about 5 different things in which to give thanks or circumstances in which to give thanks. And the first one is joy. And
so, feels like a softball.
All right, let's go. And it may be less of a softball than we think. Let's find out. But then the other days this week, just sort of as your table of contents listener, we will also give thanks in sorrow and in suffering, in work, in rest and in plenty and in want. So that's your table of contents as we go into this episode and, more importantly, your readings for this week.
That's right.
The question as we begin is, give thanks in joy. Is that a softball?
Is it a softball? And so we'll read from Psalm 95 today, and I felt like verses 6 and 7 kind of give us a good just snapshot of like the foundation of our Thanksgiving. It says, come, let us worship and bow down.
Mm-hmm.
Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep under His care. And we talked last week about how I just commented on how our friend Jessica phrased that, like, part of Thanksgiving is being confident in God's care for us.
Yeah.
And so that confidence and the reality of God's goodness and who He is always, who He always is, is kind of the foundation for our Thanksgiving and for our joy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it quickly gets a little more complicated.
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned Jessica, and I think actually that's maybe a good place to start this conversation, because in her editor's letter, she describes moving to a new town, moving to Nashville to begin work at She Reads Truth,
mm-hmm.
like had only been here a very little while.
Yes.
And woke up to her house on fire one morning in September. And she describes so beautifully how she was so cared for in her season of sorrow and in suffering, and how everyone came and rushed to meet her needs, and how every gift in that sorrowful, suffering season, she was just so keenly in tune to the kindness and generosity of the Lord and his people.
Right.
Then she goes on to describe, you know, that that season is no longer her reality. Mm-hmm. And she actually kind of talks about how I actually struggle to pay as close of attention as I was in that season to all of the things for which I have to give thanks. Like, right. because it's just not so like in my face as yeah. it was during yeah. that season. So when I talk about is give thanks and joy a softball, I think that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because giving thanks and joy, it feels like, well, yeah, I mean, there's so much to be thankful for right now. And I think that for some of us in certain seasons, that's true.
Right.
And then in other seasons, I think that prone to wander, Lord, I feel it in my season of joy or ease, if you will say, I forget to realize how tethered I am to the Lord's provision.
Right. Yeah. You all will get to read some really great passages of scripture today about
some really great passages of scripture.
Like, I know, even as I was saying it, I thought that's a really lame way to say this, as opposed to the not great. Yeah. But anyway, whatever. You're going to read some scripture. It's going to be great. But in Colossians, I think we get kind of a picture of what you just said, Rachel, which is, you know, Paul, one of his famous run-on sentences, he just keeps going and going like the Energizer Bunny. But he's talking about, you know, he's talking to the Colossians and he's saying all these things he wants for that. We're asking that you'll be filled with knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, keeps going. He says, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. Okay, here's the thing. So that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. That joy there feels different than like happiness, you know, because if you're having great endurance and patience, there's something going on that requires you to endure and to be patient.
Yeah.
And yet, we are not just to give thanks. He says, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share it. So here's the big picture, right? He's enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance. So this is not just a circumstantial joy. This is like that foundational joy of the Lord.
Yeah, it's that last line. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the thing. This is the thing. I was reading the Luke 15 passage from day 8, and it's like the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. And in both instances, and we're probably familiar with the story where, you know, there are 100 sheep and one goes missing, and he leaves the 99 and finds the one and celebrates and says, and I love this, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. And then again, the woman who like loses the one coin and she like looks everywhere for it. She lights a lamp in the house and she searches carefully until she finds it. When she finds it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together saying, rejoice with me because I have found the silver coin I had lost. Now, we know because scripture tells us the point of this is ultimately that all of heaven rejoices when a lost sinner is found, right? But we also see that invitation in both of these stories to go like, hey, y'all come.
Yeah.
Something really good happened. The Lord is at work. He did this thing. And I want to give thanks, but I don't want to do that alone. I want to rejoice in community about this. And I think I had like two separate, like, I don't know if convictions is right, but at least challenges of like, I want to do that more. I want to invite people to rejoice with me when the Lord like has clearly just done something.
Give thanks in your joy.
Hey, well, y'all join me in giving thanks in my joy. And the converse, I want to be one of the people that you call. Like, call me when something is going good. Would you call me and like count on me to rejoice with you?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I understand that the bigger picture point of that parable is heaven rejoicing when someone is saved.
Yes, and. We have so much to learn.
You know?
Yeah.
Listen, we will make it through this week, but these Luke passages just got me this in this reading. From Luke 17, the 10 men healed.
Oh, there's this that little,
it's so good. And again, it's probably a story we're familiar with, but Amanda, I think that what you and I have both been experiencing is, oh, I hadn't noticed that before. You know, like these little things, and that's the joy of reading scripture over a lifetime, right?
Correct.
But there's this little line where it says, you know, but one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned. So we know that, like, of the 10 men that were healed, one returned, and he gave thanks. And then one little line on its own paragraph says, and he was a Samaritan.
Mm.
And I just, like, started thinking about, like, over the course of our reading in scripture, it could also be said, and she was a Moabitess. She was a Canaanite woman. She was a prostitute. She was a, like, I think about, she was a child. Like, all of these things, it's this invitation, I think, that, or maybe even like a point to be made, that those who have received much, and we don't get this story in today's reading, but when we've been forgiven much, it's like the other parable of the unforgiving servant. The one who was forgiven much is really the most grateful.
Yeah.
I want to be a grateful one.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we all read that story and say their lives are completely changed and they were healed from a devastating physical disease.
Like their lives are truly like before and after this
and
moment.
And I want to be the one that gives thanks. Right. Of course, we all do. Yeah. And yet there is difficulty there. You know, it is a heart issue.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is a learned posture and practice.
Yeah.
It's probably no surprise that one of the days that really drew me in of this week's reading is the Tuesday reading, Give Thanks in Sorrow and in Suffering. You know, I mentioned last week that I've been thinking about these prepositions of like give thanks in sorrow and suffering. Is that different and how is that different than giving thanks for, you know, sorrow or suffering? And that's probably its own podcast episode. But I am so grateful for what is modeled in Scripture and the way, and it is just modeled all over the place in Scripture.
It is.
That we can come to the Lord in our sorrow and in our suffering, and that we can, and it is appropriate to, give thanks in those seasons.
Yeah.
And so I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful that we clearly see that God sees us, that our suffering does not mean he is absent, although it can definitely feel that way.
Yeah.
But even here in Psalm 31, verse 7, I will rejoice and be glad in your faithful love. In your faithful love, because you have seen my affliction, you know the troubles of my soul, and have not handed me over to the enemy. You have set my feet in a spacious place. So like, you've set my feet in a spacious place. I'm also afflicted. Like, these are, there's
also
a both and.
Verse 9, I am in distress. My eyes are worn out from frustration. My whole being as well. Indeed, my life is consumed with grief and my years with groaning. My strength has failed because of my iniquity and my bones waste away. I'm ridiculed. Like, it goes on. But Amanda, you're right. You pointed out that very first top verse. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in what?
The faithful love of the Lord.
The thing that I never have to stop giving thanks for, because it'll always be there.
Yeah. And I mean, and we can read these verses quickly, and I think we all know, you know, and probably some of you are listening really acutely know what it means to say, my life is consumed with grief, my years with groaning. That is deeply true in seasons of our lives. But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God.
Yeah.
The course of my life is in your power. Goodness gracious. So all this to say, I mean, you're going to read the scriptures. I don't have to read them to you. The Lord will meet you in them as you read this week. But I believe that we can give thanks in our suffering and in our sorrow, not because suffering is good. I don't mean that good can't come from it, but this is a consequence of the fall. Suffering is not good. Jesus wept, right? Not because it is good, but because God is always good.
Yeah.
Even in our suffering. And like you spoke about, Jessica, sometimes we are acutely aware of God's goodness. It can be a weird position, right? Like you can feel like God is far away and doesn't see your suffering, and also every drop of goodness that can just feel like it's in neon.
Yeah.
Because you're so desperate for it.
Yeah.
And so I just think that's one of the tensions that we hold as believers, that all of those things are true.
And at the very end of that psalm, be strong and let your heart be courageous.
Yeah.
All you who put your hope in the Lord.
Amen.
I love that the Old Testament and the New Testament are best friends. Like,
yeah. Oh, I like that. That's such a good way to put it.
They are. They're not opposed in opposition to one another. They are best friends.
Yeah.
And so when we turn from a psalm to First Peter.
Oof. Yeah.
And it says, dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you. And I put in quotes, as if something unusual were happening to you.
Yeah.
Right? Instead, rejoice as you share in the sufferings of Christ so that you may also rejoice with great joy. His glory is revealed. And it goes on, and in verse 19, so then, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust themselves to a faithful Creator while doing what is good.
Mm.
Continue actively. Mm-hmm. It's an active while doing what is good.
You know, things happen in our emotions when Scripture is read aloud, and I have tears in my eyes from hearing you read that. And I think what that teaches me is that when it says, instead, rejoice as you share in the sufferings of Christ, I feel, and someone out there can tell me the meaning of the original word and all of that, the original Greek word. I don't know that. I don't know what that original meaning is. But I feel like rejoice here is not, a rejoicing can be a phone call and a high five, mm-hmm. sure. I also think that there can be a rejoicing in our tears, that like it doesn't have to minimize the pain we feel, or dismiss maybe is the right word. It doesn't dismiss the pain we feel or negate the suffering, but that we can also rejoice, because what we're rejoicing in is not the fiery ordeal. What we're rejoicing in is the God who is faithful in the fiery ordeal and the presence of God who does not leave us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about Old Testament and New Testament being best friends. I mean, what comes to mind when you think of a fiery ordeal where the Lord is present? I mean, you can see our buddies.
Things, yeah.
Right? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think of like our buddies Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who are like, they went through a fiery ordeal.
And
the Lord
was
there.
Visibly present.
Literally there.
Hey friends, pausing this conversation to tell you about one of our podcast sponsors, Hiya. Now, it's no secret that typical children's vitamins are basically candy in disguise, right? They're filled with tons of sugar, unhealthy chemicals, and other gummy junk that your kids just don't need. That is why Hiya was created. It is the pediatrician-approved, super-powered, chewable vitamin. It has 12 organic fruits and vegetables, 15 essential vitamins and minerals, and Hiya has zero sugar. It's vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free, all the things you want in a children's vitamin. And somehow, kids still love it. And I have to tell you, so do all the moms with young kids here at the She Reads Truth office. So if you want to see if Hiya is right for your family, we have a special deal just for you where you can get 50% off your first order. Just go to HiyaHealth.com/truth. Your first order will arrive with a super cute bottle that your kids can decorate with stickers, and then each month's supply of vitamins will arrive right at your door. You don't even have to think about it. This deal is not available on the regular website, so be sure to go to Hiya Health, that's HiyaHealth.com/truth, and claim your discount and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
Whoosh, okay, let's keep going. We're going to lose me on this day if we don't keep going.
We're just
going
to start to really...
Here's the thing.
It's okay. It's okay if Scripture connects with us. That's the point.
That
and
is the point.
It's living and active, and boy, it will. And it does.
We don't have to walk through every day this week because you all are going to do that. But I think it's real sweet, the thing that we realized right before we hit record, that Thanksgiving Day falls on, or perhaps it's better to say, that Day 11 falls on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
And that is to give thanks in rest.
I like that it's rest on that day.
I do too.
Now, I want to just be clear that rest is not exactly a word that I would use to describe my typical Thanksgiving day.
Although it does sometimes involve a nap.
You know what? It does not.
Oh, wait a minute. Not for you. I forgot what we were talking about here. Thanksgiving Day and Rachel Myers. It's Rachel's Super Bowl.
My sister and brother-in-law were over for dinner last night, and we were talking about meals and those kinds of things, and their 8-year-old who hasn't completed an entire meal in his life. They were asking like family questions, and they were like, what's the best meal you've ever eaten? And he was like, Thanksgiving at Auntie's. Like,
oh,
and I was
win.
Like, I see that as high praise because, again, he's not really into food.
Yeah, that's so fair.
And I, like, in response to that, I was like, y'all, I think that Thanksgiving last year, and this is not always true for everybody or even for me, but it was one of the most special days of possibly my life.
Like, that's so sweet.
We had just moved into my new kitchen that I was really excited about, really like having space.
Which meant a couple of additional burners.
Yeah. That's, I mean,
if anyone needs to splurge for the additional burners,
I needed more burners.
It's Rachel Myers.
But like in Tennessee, at least, the sun was shining. Mm-hmm. We were outside. And
you
it
played
was a
football,
good,
didn't you?
We played
Did
football.
Did somebody get injured?
It was the year before that my nose was broken in a friendly football game. That was fun. But all that to say, Amanda and I know full well that Thanksgiving Day, even like its history, we don't have to get into that, but like just like the reality that holidays spark all sorts of great feelings and really, really hard feelings, especially like, especially for those who like, this might be a first Thanksgiving where somebody's missing.
Yeah, for sure.
I think for a lot of people, that's the case. And so I think that this is maybe a good example of us going like, we just care for one another. We rejoice with those who rejoice.
Yeah.
We grieve with those who grieve. And we can do both of those things at the same time. So even in the lighthearted conversation about Thanksgiving, y'all, we also fully like look you in the eye as much as we can through the airwaves. The airwaves?
Sure.
And we say, also, Thanksgiving Day is a beautiful day to open God's word and to give thanks.
Yeah, and listen to this.
No matter what it holds.
Rest doesn't always mean what we think it means.
A nap.
Right?
Yeah.
A nap, which is what I always want it to mean because I love a nap. I love to sleep, you guys.
And you can give
do.
Thanks in a nap.
You can, and I do. But the Thanksgiving Day reading, which is not a Thanksgiving Day reading, but it's the reading that we will do on Thanksgiving
Day
in our community reading plan, is Matthew 11:28. And you know it well, and I'm going to read it to you anyway. Come to me, says Jesus, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's more than a nap right there. That's different, right? Take my yoke and learn from me because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That last verse, it just feels too good to be true.
Yeah.
But the thing is,
and it is true.
It is true. And it is true on a deeper level than I think that I dare to believe.
Yeah. You know, I have been trying to resurrect, if you will, or redeem a phrase. And Amanda, you know this because I've really been trying to sell it to you and I'm not sure I have.
Oh, which one? Which one?
Rest in peace.
Oh, okay. No,
I really
I'm not on board yet.
I think I would like to begin signing my emails, rest in peace, which I understand I can't do. But
I'm going to still have to object.
But here's why. I need the reminder more times in my day to nothing to do with
death. Yeah.
I need more reminders in my day to rest in the peace of Christ.
Well, here's the thing. Resting and peace, and therefore resting in peace, is available to you as a follower of Jesus and a child of God.
And like, it is a generous offering.
It is. It is.
If you correspond with me at any time and I sign my email, RIP, Rachel Myers.
It's still such a hard sell. I just keep trying. We got to think of ways to workshop it. But,
all right.
But yes. Yeah, just
here, it this can is say some, something more like rest in his mercy.
Or sure.
His,
yeah,
yeah. I can say something that has less Halloween vibes.
This is a real behind the scenes of our friendship right here.
Where like, I come up with ideas that are just left of appropriate. And Amanda smiles.
I have an idea.
And doesn't exactly shoot it down, but also doesn't sign the petition.
No, not yet. I'm
withholding her signature.
I am. And then Friday, the give thanks in plenty and in want is such a sweet end to.
I love that we get Psalms 23 on that day.
Thanksgiving week. And listen, y'all, these passages falling on Black Friday, that was not intentional, but it is also not an accident.
Huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Listen to this. Think about, I feel the tug every year. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I have what I need.
Full stop.
Yeah. My cup overflows.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Only goodness, only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. I'm so grateful.
You have what you need.
Yes. And like, what an appropriate start to thinking about, okay, what does it mean to have gratitude in times of material abundance?
Yeah.
And of material lack?
Yeah.
Of spiritual, emotional, mental abundance, of lack. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there are so many ways to think about these concepts. Yeah, it's a lot. It is almost like you could zoom in on any one of these days and build it out into a series.
I didn't particularly love the Haggai passage. We don't read a lot of Haggai, frankly. Maybe not enough, because I also think that, like, I'll read that.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I mean, I'll read some of it from Haggai chapter 1. It says, "Now the Lord of armies says this, think carefully about your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough to be satisfied. You drink, but never have enough to be happy. You put on clothes, but never have enough to get warm. The wage earner puts his wages into a bag with a hole in it."
So it's both.
Yeah.
It's plenty and want
plenty
at the
and
same
want.
Time.
Here's all these things that you have, and yet it's,
Yeah.
Sorry. I feel like I could have selected a more uplifting verse passage to read. But I also think, like, what a poignant piece of scripture that we never read.
Yes. And maybe we can land here for the week and let you guys get to your Thanksgiving week and your Thanksgiving reading and planning your own food Super Bowls. But this is why I think this reading plan is so important, because even though scripture is abundantly clear that we are to have a posture of gratitude all the time as followers of Jesus, and that we have so much to feel gratitude for as followers of Jesus, I think we, and when I say we, I mean I, can view the command to give thanks in everything as a throwaway command.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to say it out loud. Like, it feels like, yeah, that sounds so nice. Also, you have no idea. That's what I want to say to Paul, is like, what? Of course you would say this, Paul. Like, you know, like you're...
You have no idea. Also, you are in jeans right now, and I am sorry.
Yeah, and that's true.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah.
He was when he wrote that. He was in literal chains. And I just think this is where we do, as Bible readers in 2023, in the Western American church, most of us, right? We cannot view these commands as throwaway or feel that there is a disconnect between us and them. Because, yes, there was a context for how that was written. But here's the secret. The context doesn't make it less relevant. The context actually makes it more relevant.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I think that voicing these tensions that we feel when we read things like Haggai chapter 1 is what we need to do to get to the point where give thanks in all circumstances hits again, right? And feels where we feel a conviction toward it.
Yeah, yeah. I like landing there. I actually have one other place that I want to land. So I just agreed with your landing place, and then I want to – there's a benediction. There's a Numbers benediction.
Oh, do it.
Read it. So I am going to read from our Thanksgiving Day reading. I'm going to read a benediction over y'all as we close. And honestly, I had other things to say, but I just would rather land here right now. From Numbers chapter 6, this is the priestly blessing. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. You should say this to them." And y'all, if you are somewhere where you can hold your hands open to receive this blessing, this benediction, do it. I just think there's something about those, like, receiving hands. Hear this. "May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look with favor on you and give you peace."
Amen.
Amen.
All right, friends, come back next week. We're going to wrap up this series. And we're going to look at what Scripture has to say about giving thanks for God's discipline, God's mercy, giving thanks in anxiety. Oof, come back for that one. In waiting, in everything.
That's right.
Give thanks. And until next week,
Rachel Myers, what do we tell our friends?
Keep opening your Bibles. Happy Thanksgiving.